Welcome to Plain Talk. Plain Talk has a new podcast every 2 weeks with up-to-date information about aviation technologies for general and business aviation. From home to cockpit to boardroom to personal tech, Plain Talk provides informative information for pilots, industry insiders, and aviation enthusiasts alike. My name is Phil Lightstone. I'm a general aviation pilot with over 1,900 hours in my logbook, flying almost every week with over 30 years' experience in the technology and aviation industries.
Hey, I'd like to introduce Matthew Fernandez, the co-founder and CEO, as well as Ashan Monfrad, Chief Operating Officer of a new, very exciting social network called Flight Club Life, a website that facilitates aircraft owners and block timers or renters coming together. Nice to meet you two.
Nice to meet you as well. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much for having us here.
Absolutely, our pleasure. So I see from your background, you're both licensed pilots. And Ashan, I think you were saying you were not only a commercial pilot, but also an aviation lawyer.
That's right. Yeah, that's how I actually got to get involved in this really awesome project with Matt. He came to discuss whether it was legal. And as a pilot who hadn't flown for a few years, I couldn't get the idea of having an app in my phone where I could, you know, access a 172 nearby most weekends out of my head. So I got involved in this project.
Matthew, do you own an airplane?
Yeah, I do. That's actually how Flight Club got started. I purchased a Piper Cherokee and kept it in Buttonville. And a number of my friends were asking me, like, "Hey, would you be okay if I took it for a flight?" And I had after one of my friends started flying it, I realized, like, I only fly it 20 hours a month, and the rest of the time it's sitting there. So it would be a great opportunity for me to reduce costs as an owner, and a great opportunity for pilots that are looking for airplanes to fly.
Awesome. And you said 20 hours a month. That's a lot of flying.
That is. I was time building towards my commercial license at the time. So I was doing quite a lot of flying, just cross countries all over the place and a few $100 burgers. But I know the average general aviation airplane only flies about 50 hours a year. So it's definitely a great opportunity for people to get more utilization for their planes, keep their engines happy, and reduce costs of ownership.
When did you guys launch Flight Club?
So we launched right before the pandemic. Prior to that, we were just doing some testing and iteration on our platform with my airplane. And we went public during the pandemic.
So when you mean public, you mean from an advertising perspective versus the New York Stock Exchange?
Exactly. Just allowing other owners to onboard onto the platform.
I only said that because we do have a lawyer on the call.
Yeah, you got to be careful around the lawyers.
I would think that having a lawyer and an aviation lawyer as the chief operating officer will, you know, keep the renters and the owners, as well as your organization, off of Transport Canada's and the FAA's radar.
Yeah, it's definitely helpful.
It's okay. You'd be surprised, you know, how many interesting mission cases and use scenarios people come up with. And I'm really glad that I'm involved for that reason, because I can assess them and say, yes, that's acceptable within the rules, or no, absolutely not, you can't do that. And, you know, currently, because of the insurance market, as it's constantly referred to as a hard insurance market, you know, innovation in the insurance space is very challenging. And so we often have to work within the policies that exist. And so I'm able to look at some of those policies and read through them and advise on them. And it's remarkable, the amount of inconsistencies that we find in existing policies, where in one respect they say you can do something, and in another respect they say you can't do it. And I'm fearful for those who have those policies, even without ever listing on Flight Club, getting into a situation and then their insurer turning around and citing one of those contradictory provisions as a basis for denying a claim. So it's, we are, as well as facilitating block time, we're really forcing and pushing the insurance market to recognize that they are part of the problem and that there are lots of pilots out there who could be flying these aircraft, and on a broader basis, giving the insurance industry more profitability and making sure that the engines and the operations are safer by and large. So it's like it's a very rewarding experience to be involved in, for sure, from my perspective.
I know the insurance on the airplane that I co-own had a nasty premium increase last year, and I've got some of my pilot friends who have seen their insurance go up 100%.
Right.
But it really seems like, is it an issue of insurance profitability versus nasty claim payments like the 737 MAX?
Those points are both related. And this is a trickle-down effect from the very top of the market because of those much bigger claims that really have very little bearing on general aviation and its performance. But even still, part of the reason why, like, insurance premiums have en masse decreased over the last decade. And one of the reasons why that's happened is because owners have demanded that, you know, reductions come in, and then insurers have been competing extremely aggressively to the point where they've eliminated any profitability margin they had. And now we're seeing these crazy upticks. But, you know, our view at Flight Club is that if you have more hours being flown on your aircraft, then you can justify paying more for your insurance because you're sharing it with other people as opposed to just bearing it on your own for the sole luxury of flying it for 40 hours a year and having your partner very likely complain to you for the rest of the time that, you know, you're spending a lot of money on your aircraft. So I think insurance needs to come to the table and be part of the solution, and we can figure out. And we are in the process of doing that, of optimizing check rides and currency requirements so that we can have a broad solution that people come into the tent and they're operating under that insurance policy and everybody's covered. There's no real gap in coverage, and that's what we're working towards.
The optimization of check rides and currency requirements, is that something that's part of your platform, or is that just something that each owner has to administratively care for?
So I think that comes into play with a full insurance solution. Currently, we are providing suggested checkout rides and currency procedures, but it's up to the owner and the individual insurance policy of that owner to either adopt that or prescribe something more or less. But our recommendation is to go with a standardized process, sort of similar to a flight test, where you're running through all the items that a pilot would need to do to ensure safe flight.
And it seems that as you pool common interests, being owners matching to renters, and with Legal Beagle at the helm, have you created a standardized, templated contracts, you know, renter agreement?
We have once again, and we share those with any owner that joins onto our platform, but we haven't mandated that the standard we've created is being used. The whole point of this is to make owners and pilots comfortable. So if an owner wants something a little bit more strict, they're welcome to change it, make it more strict. If they want something more lax, then that's up to them as well. But we do provide all the documentation that we've created to make the onboarding process as easy as possible.
You used the interesting word strict. So on a scale of 1 to 10, 0 is lax and 10 is super strict. Where does your document fall in?
I'd say we're at about an 8. Our main concern is safety. And we want to ensure that everyone's having a good experience, both pilots and owners. So we do ask for a lot of safety updates from our owners, and we ask the same from our pilots, along with ensuring that they're consistently flying and meeting the standard from a safety perspective.
You know, and that kind of brings up an interesting topic. I've always thought that many airplanes fall into a, you know, a spectrum of how safe is safe, as owners tend, you know, due to financial constraints, might defer some maintenance issues that, again, not impacting airworthiness, because obviously airworthiness is a regulatory requirement, but, you know, we're, just as airplanes get older, get a little tired, you have to stay on top of it. So with that as a long-worded backdrop, how do you kind of deal with, you know, that spectrum of how safe is safe, as, you know, from a block timer's perspective as it relates to the hardware?
So what we ask for is that the annual is completed recently before the owner signs onto the platform. That's the, I guess, a starting point, and that way we know what items are outstanding. We also have maintenance tracking that's built into our platform, where a pilot that flies things can offer, or like when they check in and check out, they can snag the airplane and it goes to the owner as a notification. Those are just some of the things that are built into the platform. But from a safety perspective and a cost perspective, we've also helped owners get their airplanes ready to list on the platform, where we will pay for some of the items and then just take it back on an ongoing basis as pilots fly their aircraft. But we understand that there are financial constraints, and that's the beauty of Flight Club, because as an owner, you want your plane flying, you want it to be as safe as possible, and we help you offset the cost of ownership by sharing that cost across the spectrum.
And I'll just jump in here, Phil, sorry. And we've had, you know, so many successes across the country where, you know, even aircraft that we had no certainty were going to get rented, people were looking to sell shares in their aircraft, maybe 50% share, completely sell their aircraft, and we were able to find them competent pilots to rent from them, and so now they've avoided having to do that, and can now have, you know, some sharing of costs with these other block time renters.
Well, that's wonderful. I always thought that it was an oxymoron, in that the more you fly your airplane, the less maintenance you have to do on it. Vis-a-vis that, airplanes don't like to sit in hangars and only fly 10 hours a year. They'll become, those hangar queens, when pulled out, will incur a serious amount of maintenance to not only make them airworthy, but to make them a comfortable environment to fly in. And found that new owners didn't quite understand that concept until they were many years down the road.
It's just heartbreaking to see when you go to an airport, you see so many airplanes covered in dust, just haven't moved in 2 or 3 years, with flat tires. And then you go to the flying schools and it's the complete opposite, where pilots don't have the opportunity to book a plane, or they're having to cut flights short than they would have liked because there's no aircraft available. And I think, like, the market really needs the solution, and it helps both parties by reducing costs for pilots and owners.
An airplane flying 100 to 200 hours a year, over the course of a year, that's actually not a lot of time per se. There's so much time where airplanes just sit and.
Yeah, when you're considering an engine is an 1800 hour overhaul time, like you've got a good amount of years of use there with an airplane flying 100 hours a year.
And I'll just jump in here, Phil. The AME out at Pitt Meadows Airport, I was chatting with a few months back, and he was telling me that, you know, you operate the engine, and then when it sits for a week, the condensation from the combustion process is also sitting inside the engine. That's what causes a lot of the corrosion. So if you can operate these planes at least once a week, you just even turn the engine, it helps dissipate some of that old moisture buildup and keep the engine fresh. that's what we mean when we say keep engines happy by flying them one. I think you've alluded to it for sure.
No doubt. Keeps the engine happy, the airframe happy. Airplanes just appear. They want to have air running through them. You know, how many members are with Flight Club?
So we've got about over 600 registered users on Flight Club. There are 26 aircraft that are listed. There's another two or three in the pipeline. They're in the process of coming on board. I wouldn't say all of those members are flying at this point, mostly because we haven't found aircraft in the areas that they're located. And so we're constantly trying to reach out to aircraft owners and show them the benefits of listing. One of the common misconceptions that we hear all the time is that by listing on our platform, somehow we get carte blanche to allow anybody to rent their aircraft. Absolutely false. If you know you don't like the person that wants to rent from you for whatever reason, hopefully it's not a reason based in prejudice, it's because of their airmanship or whatever, you know, as an owner, you do not have to let them fly. And you could have liked them at one point and then you decided you don't like them. Also, you don't have to let them fly. There's no obligation. It's your aircraft. And, you know, we express that to owners. And to my surprise, they are surprised to hear that they still retain that kind of control.
I've always found that partners and block timers, it's very much like dating, don't you think?
Certainly, yeah.
And that's the really, you know, trick. Certainly less so with block timers and more so with partners. Easy to get into a partnership, but very much like a divorce, can be a little challenging to get out.
For sure. It's definitely not easy to break up when you're partnered with someone in an airplane or in a marriage. But some of the feedback that we've gotten is like it's my baby. I'm not gonna let someone take my baby. And then they meet the pilot and they're like, oh my goodness, they're an awesome pilot. It's gonna let me spend more time with my baby, and like fine, I'll let them go for a spin whenever they want. So I think it's just slowly changing that perspective that like we already have ingrained in us as pilots that in the community, we always help each other out. We're all, well, for the most part, we're very safety conscious and we treat each other with respect. And it's just that slight change when you meet someone that you're willing to let fly your plane and it works well, that the community will slowly start to change. And some of these costs can be downgraded for the entire community.
And I've always found just through my, you know, my history that it's a pursuit that brings in a social element. Have you found that some of that your owners, as they get more comfortable with some of the block timers that are aligned to their aircraft, that then they start, you know, flying together and turning that $100 hamburger into a $50 hamburger?
We, you know, because of the pandemic, we haven't really been able to carry out our community building mandate that we have for Flight Club in the same way. But we have been able to get some, you know, fly-ins that have happened. There's some really interesting airports in Northern Ontario who have lots of facilities in terms of, you know, on-site camping and nearby fishing. And, you know, we've gotten owners to go do those kinds of things together. But again, with the pandemic and us sort of being operational in the midst of this crazy, crazy world, you know, we haven't been able to do that sort of collaborative barbecue. And Matt hears this all the time. Every time I say, you know, we got to do barbecues, got to do flying barbecues. I'm a big fan of barbecues and flying into them. So it's definitely down the road. And, you know, if we're in Western Canada, we're going to have pancake breakfast. And this is more social. It's supposed to be social and it's supposed to be fun. And our goal with Flight Club is to take out the tedious aspects of flying as much as possible so that, you know, we can focus on the effective airmanship and the social aspect.
Sure. One of my personal preferences is fish and chips in Killarney.
Oh, very cool.
And that's Ontario, not Manitoba.
So just as an aside on Killarney, you know, a couple of the users that first used Matt's aircraft, and as we were testing the platform, one of the things that they really liked about our concept was that they could take Matt's aircraft out and go to Killarney and spend the day there and not be concerned so much about having it back so that the next pilot who's building time or the flight instructor is taking up a student being, you know, upset at them because now they've put their schedule off. The reality is because these aircraft are so underutilized, the vast majority of, you know, non-flight school aircraft, that we think most owners would be okay if their aircraft gets taken up for a day and only gets maybe 2 or 3 hours on it. That's still a win and better utilization than they would have had otherwise. And so that was some of the early feedback we got, and they went up to Killarney, incidentally.
Well, it does make a lot of sense. You know, a quick 2 hours in the Cherokee, I suppose, up to Killarney and spend 6 hours on the ground, 2 hours back, and you know, you've had a terrific excursion, exercising your license to see new places, versus the 10-hour drive up and the 10-hour drive back for an hour at the dock. Something wrong with that.
Mm-hmm. And I definitely think that's what aviation should be about, as opposed to just like when you're time building, you shouldn't just have to fly somewhere and fly back. Like, a huge part of the aviation experience is going places, meeting people, seeing different things, and being able to do things in those communities and support those airports and support those communities with, like, even as small as buying lunch. But it's very, like, it's a very different approach to the standard way of building hours or going on a weekend trip. The nice thing about us as well is like the different variety of aircraft that are available. Typically in your normal flying school, you can rent a 172 or potentially a Cherokee. But with us, we've got everything from J3 Cubs, which is the basic aviation, all the way up to a Cessna 340, where you're going very fast and anywhere you want to go, pretty much.
Well, sounds really fun. My last thought is all about, as we get past the pandemic and life gets to some semblance of normal, and with the state of the nation of the, you know, the used aircraft market, new aircraft is a 2-year wait, used aircraft being more challenging to find good ones, you know, based upon current market dynamics. Do you think that more and more pilots will be attracted to block time versus the traditional, as you mentioned, flight school rental model?
I think it's always been an accessibility problem, Phil. When I during my time as an aviation lawyer, I looked for opportunities to go and rent an aircraft, and it was very hard to determine on the flying schools websites their availability, the check ride requirements, etc. And so, you know, given my busy schedule, it just never happened. And I think the vast majority of pilots, whether they're professional pilots or they have a day job and they do this for leisure, it's always been a question of accessibility. And so that's the problem that we're trying to address, is to make these aircraft more accessible, have them closer to where people are located, as opposed to needing to necessarily go to central hubs, and then, you know, of course, you'll be able to fly more in relation to that. I don't know if it fully answered your question.
Just to add on there, we initially thought that we were going to be competitors to flying schools, but we've had some flying schools approach us and say, look, like if you've got availability on your aircraft, can our students use your planes? Because it frees them up to do the instructional flights, where it's always higher demand and it's more profitable for them to put an instructor and a student in the plane as opposed to time building. So I think it'll be a mixture of both, where the flight schools and us collaborate together to help reduce the cost and just grow the industry.
So what's on the horizon for you guys?
Many things are on the horizon. We've got big dreams here at Flight Club. I guess immediately what we want to do is just help reduce the costs for owners and pilots. And as we grow, we want to offer an all-encompassing insurance solution, eventually include financing, include anything, any service that you would need as an airplane owner or as a pilot. We want to help you do that. Because currently the market is so fractured and you have to go one place for your insurance, one place for your financing, another place for your maintenance. We want to bring all of that into one place and have the community interact with each other and support each other under our system.
I'll just on this too, I'll add, you know, as a separate company that I'm involved in, so it's called Escrow Air, and we do aircraft transactions and provide escrow services. And once in a while, we get people who are doing sort of the sub $100,000 transactions where an escrow agent isn't really, you know, required for that transaction, but you do still need the checks and balances of having the proper bill of sale and the funds controlled, et cetera. And so that's a service that currently the general aviation market doesn't have access to. And so on a higher level, our goal is to provide to general aviation the tools and capabilities that commercial and business aviation have had for decades now. And that includes, you know, the maintenance tracking feature, that people who are just even in an aircraft partnership, they don't want to sell block time, can use our platform for without, you know, ever renting their aircraft out to anybody else. And it's there again to enhance safety, to enhance awareness in our industry, so that we as pilots don't have to focus so much on the tedious as much as the bigger picture and the situational awareness that's so key when operating aircraft.
Well, guys, thank you so much for being in the cockpit at Plane Talk.
Awesome. Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Plane Talk. If you have any ideas for a future Plane Talk episode, please go to the Contact Us page at planetalk.ca and send in your idea. Don't forget to like us at planetalk.ca, our Facebook and LinkedIn pages, and this podcast. And never stop living the dream.